Welcome to NFL Live with live coverage of top quarterback prospect Drake May, who has just finished his workout at his pro day in North Carolina. So again, these are live pictures of the scene there in Chapel Hill. Hannah Storm along with Dan Orlowski, Mike Tannenbaum, and Mina Kimes. So Dan, from what you saw, what are your very earliest impressions of how he did today?
I would say the last 10 minutes of that pro day can't go much better. And they were the strength of his game. If you had asked me, Hannah, the number one thing that pops on tape is how good he throws the ball downfield. You know, the 15, 20, 25-plus yard throws. And, you know, when we were watching, I said, my goodness, he has a hand cannon. Just the throws down the field, the last 10 throws that he had, the last 10 minutes of throws he had in this pro day were absolutely spectacular. There was a couple misses early on. He missed a slant. He missed an out. But that's going to happen at times. So I think, you know, with what we saw, which was the great majority of his throws, you have to be really encouraged. And I think the thing that I was looking for the most, Mike T, was how are his feet going to look? Those definitely looked much improved when it came to just the rhythm of his throwing rather than the natural talent and athleticism of him throwing.
Yeah, and to that point, Hannah, I think he looks a lot like Justin Herbert, big, strong, and athletic, and I think what we saw in the pro day was sort of like punctuated that because the ball came out really easy and he could get the ball down the field flawlessly.
Here with Mike T, with Dan O, Mina Kimes is joining us as well. And I know that we all understood that that was his strength, right? Those huge throws. Also, people looking at, well, how does he handle some of the basics? Mina, what did you want to see today?
Yeah, I think everything that Dan touched on in terms of his footwork, the deep ball, which was his calling card in college, absolutely beautiful. It's only so much you can get out of a pro day, right? And I think a lot of the questions I have about Drake May weren't really ones that would be answered at the pro day. There are more questions about play under pressure, decision making, which of course you're just not going to see in this environment. But you saw the reason why teams are high on him, the reason why I'm high on him, which is the physical tools are immense. I think he's got just about as much arm talent as any prospect outside of, you know, the top three, Caleb Williams in particular. It's not just that he has a cannon, Dan. It's that when he throws the ball downfield, he's able to layer his throws. He throws with touch. It's so catchable. And yet, despite that, a lot of them were dropped, which is another point, I think, in his favor at UNC. So I'm a big fan of his, and that certainly hasn't changed today.
Yeah, I think the big thing, and again, when you're watching pro day, when you're as talented a thrower and an athlete as Drake May is, you do want to put on a show. Like, you want to have the opportunity to say, in person, this is what makes me a little bit different. But you want to have the moments when you're watching his feet because you want the player to be very real. Mike T, you know this far greater than I, but you want those guys to have, you know, that ability to sit there and go, while I'm really good at this stuff, I know I have to work at this stuff. And I do think we saw him under center a little bit more, which he never did. I do think we saw him be forced to move his feet a little bit. Like that rep right there, I still see that his feet come together on his hitch. So I would sit there and I go, I want to see his feet stay a little bit more consistently under his shoulders rather than, you know, when if you watch his feet, they go hitch and back. That's something where I sit there and I go, there's variance and movement there. I want to see it to be like this more. That's why when you say Herbert, I go, Herbert's a machine. He's where Drake still has a little bit of variance in there, and I think that leads to the occasional misses. And when I say misses, the ball is here
right.
rather than there.
Something that a lot of folks want to see him
absolutely
improve and that they feel and that they feel that he can. We saw him there in the video and he has been on the circuit. Lewis Riddick was our man on the scene today in Chapel Hill. Lewis, what were your impressions of May's pro day?
Well, I think he's definitely a work in progress in terms of making sure that he is able to repeat some of the things that I just heard Dan talking about here as I was getting wired up. As far as his feet, his hips, release points, I mean, all those things you can tell he's working hard on and he's putting in the time to do. And that's going to be a continuous work in progress that will contribute to the occasional misfire. When he is on, it is a sight to behold now. I mean, he threw some deep shots that you expected were going to absolutely wow the people in attendance here. I mean, he has got natural arm strength to be able to put this ball a long way down the field. He was, I thought, very accurate on the intermediate throws for the most part. He missed a couple deep outs to the left when he was throwing left. But everything to the right was pretty much on target. I think, you know, his athleticism, his ability to move within the pocket is something that's not surprising. Does it look the same as Caleb? Does it look the same as Jaden? No, but we knew that it wasn't going to look the same as that, and that's fine too. I think obviously you can't see how he is going to look operating from under center and what kind of timing and rhythm and consistency he plays with when he's in that kind of environment, because that's just not what this pro day is going to showcase. But I think there's no doubt from a physical skills standpoint, which is something that all scouts, all general managers, all coaches absolutely get enamored with, he has all of those. On top of the fact that really the most important part of the evaluation, or just as important in the evaluation process, all the off-the-field stuff, all the football intelligence stuff, everybody here at North Carolina will tell you is off the charts with him. His makeup is off the charts with him. His football character, his family background is off the charts with him. So that's another factor that you're going to have to keep in mind here when you're talking about how our team's going to be looking at him. They'll feel as though all the other stuff they can possibly fix. But all that stuff that I just mentioned are the kind of things that, you know, are already a part of his foundation and people can feel comfortable with. So all in all, it's a great day for him. No question about that.
And you were so high on Jaden Daniels after seeing him in person yesterday, and you put him above Caleb Williams. After today, what order do you have these three top prospects in?
Yeah, look, I think it's important for me to stay consistent with marrying the tape with the with what I saw in these individual workouts. And for me, it would be Jaden, Caleb, and then Drake. And that's not, you know, if you're forcing me to put them in order, that's where I would put them in order. Ultimately, Hannah, we know that a lot of what's going to determine their success or failure is what happens once you get them in the building. And that's something I've been saying since day one of joining ESPN. The structure and environment that these guys are surrounded with, and then the choices that they're making also in their own individual lives are going to go a long way to determining whether or not they ultimately reach their ceiling. All three of these guys are super, super talented. But if you were forcing me to pick one out of that group of three, I'm going to go with Jaden, and then I would go with Caleb, and I would go with Drake. But all three of them have the potential to be Pro Bowlers and lead their team to some serious, serious big-time success.
And that would make this a very successful draft, unlike some others that we've seen. I mean, if that happens, if these three guys taken at the top are all Pro Bowlers and successful, wow, that would be a home run.
Go ahead, Hannah. Go ahead.
We have a couple other guys I want to get to really quickly, because Michael Penix Jr., also with his pro day today at Washington, Roma Dunze did not work out today. He decided not to, but just moments ago, Michael Penix Jr. spoke with Molly McGrath, and also there is Field Yates. So, Field, we're just getting this up to the second information. Tell us how Penix Jr. looked today.
Yeah, Hannah, good to be with you guys, and it's been a great day out here in Seattle watching Michael Penix Jr. take part in the pro day. I'm going to build up to the throwing session, which is, of course, the main event in any quarterback's pro day, as Michael Penix Jr. opted to do both the vertical jump and also the 40-yard dash prior to his throwing, something he did not do during the NFL Combine, and he impressed everybody who was watching here as he jumped 36.5 inches in the vertical and then ran, and of course, every scout's watch is a little bit different, but somewhere between a 4.56 and 4.59 amongst the cluster of scouts that I was watching who were timing Michael Penix Jr., notably also Roma Dunze, who you mentioned did not take part in the on-field drills, was also working his own stopwatch when Michael Penix Jr. ran his 40. He was certainly happy to see his quarterback run a time that I think many people were not expecting, as Penix Jr. wanted to show that he is more than just a pocket passer. He is also a talented natural athlete. But of course, that all led up to the throwing session for Michael Penix Jr. And anybody who has seen him throw live understands that he has a rocket launcher attached to his left shoulder. And seeing it live and in person is just a little bit different. I saw it during the Senior Bowl, had a chance to see it again here here, and the velocity and the force that he can generate with such an effortless motion is so unique. Now, that throwing motion is also unique, Hannah, but the ability to deliver the football to all levels down the field, and especially on those vertical shots, which I know Dan will tell you were as impressive as any quarterback in this entire draft class, today was certainly a positive day for Michael Penix Jr. with a massive crowd that included NFL head coaches and GMs here in Seattle.
Well, perhaps he helped himself climb up some boards. And when you look at that 40 time, that is awfully impressive and very important given his injury history, which is a huge question, obviously, with Michael Penix Jr. We mentioned that Molly McGrath caught up with the quarterback. Here she is.
So, Michael, how would you assess your performance today?
I feel like possibly answered a lot of questions. You know, I felt good, you know, being able to run, to be able to jump. You know, obviously I wanted to do that to show that I'm willing to compete. And, you know, I want to write my own story, write my own narrative. And I feel like I did that today. And I'm super blessed. So,
what are the questions that you've heard from NFL teams? How have you eliminated those through this draft process?
Well, just any concerns about me not being able to be mobile and an athlete, you know, stuff like that, you know. But I'm not saying that I heard that from NFL coaches and stuff like that. But, you know, I just feel like, you know, for myself, I wanted to write their own narrative for myself, because I know in my game I don't have to run, so I don't. So I was like, if I got a chance to compete, and, you know, on a big stage, I want to do it. So I did it today. So
at a pro day, most quarterbacks just throw. You decided to run and jump, as you said. How do you think you did?
Not as good as I wanted to, but I felt good. You know, I felt like I've done better, you know, in different scenarios. But, you know, I'm blessed. You know, I feel good with my numbers, and I'm super blessed. And, you know, I feel like I didn't have to show too much more than what I did today. So
what's better than a sub-4.5, sub-4.6 40 and 36.5-inch vertical?
It should have been a 4.4, but I don't know. I said I was going to jump a 36, you know, but I was hoping like a 38 maybe, but that's all. But I felt good, though.
My favorite part during all of your individual drills were your teammates cheering you on. You can tell these guys really love you. What is an NFL team getting in Michael Penix as a leader and a teammate?
Yeah, they're going to get a guy that's going to help lift the team up, you know, help elevate everybody around them. You know, that's why I feel like I've been able to do it two different places. And I've been super blessed to be able to have great players around me, you know, to help up my game, you know, continue to allow me to become better day in and day out. So I'm just super blessed, and they're going to get a winner. So
I've heard that you impressed in combine interviews. You showcased your athleticism today. What is the one trait that you want NFL teams to focus on when they look at you?
I don't know where they think my, you know, football smarts is, you know, but I just hope that they, I just want to show them that, you know, I can do it all. You know, as far as learning a playbook, you know I get questions about you haven't been under the center a lot. How do you feel about that? You know, just show that I'm comfortable doing that, you know, comfortable calling plays in the huddle, stuff like that, you know. So just showing those type of things, you know, that, you know, I possibly couldn't show within, you know, these last couple seasons, so.
Thanks for your time, Mike. Appreciate you.
Of course, thank you. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Molly. Well, you can see why his interviews were so good, right? What a charming guy. And after those four injury-riddled seasons at Indiana, I know his standards were high, but he did really well today.
Listen, we're having a conversation of the first four picks in this year's NFL draft being quarterbacks. If not for those injuries, we would be having the conversation of the first five picks being five quarterbacks, Michael Penix being right there. I mean, you heard Field kind of talk about it. You can make the case that no one threw the ball better on tape this year than Michael Penix. I mean, just far as, wow, just pure, pretty throws and where it's supposed to go on such a consistent basis, and the arm strength and the power, it's phenomenal in his last years at Washington. To your point, Hannah, he's got four season-ending injuries. So, you know, when you're looking at a player going, absolutely love him, love his character. I think, Mike T, you could speak to it better than I, but don't those have to be the unfortunate, like, real conversations you have to have?
And, yeah. And how do you weigh that against everything else
top
that
five
Dan
talent.
Just
yeah.
talked about?
Yeah,
right.
It's really hard. Hannah, you nailed it. I spent some time with him. His personality is effervescent. Like, he is so likable. You can see why he's a natural leader. And, Dan, your point's well taken. Four season-ending injuries, that's tough. But he did play in 28 games at the University of Washington.
Yeah, right.
And if you're running a 4.5 at his size, ooh, he's healthy. So it's a tough call. He's going to go in the first round.
And you when think you he's can, a first rounder?
And Dan, when you can make a throw like that, there's only about four or five other people on the planet – including the NFL, that can make that type of throw with that type of accuracy.
Okay, because that's interesting that you think now he has shot up these draft boards to the point where he's going to be taken in the first round.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's six in the first round. I had him in my mock the other day, which was really good, by the way.
Yeah, we'll talk about your mock later.
Going 19 to the Rams. Like, if I'm the Rams, right, I have my first round pick since 2016. Mm-hmm. Why not take Michael Penix and let him sit for a year behind Matthew Stafford? Matthew Stafford's closer to the end than the beginning. And now all of a sudden you can operate Hannah from a position of strength. Mm-hmm. And to have a guy with his ability, as Field said, with a rocket launcher, I love it because, look, Matt Stafford, Dan had him in the Hall of Fame, you know, 5 years ago. But Matt Stafford.
Before he actually ends up in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say.
Story for another day. But in all seriousness, like, if you're the Rams and you could have Penix behind Stafford, I couldn't imagine a better situation long term for that franchise.
I mean, he's all over the place on these mocks. I mean, Matt Miller has him going 47th to the Giants overall. Mina, what do you think about his play? Mm. How does his style project to the NFL? And what are your impressions after what you've heard today?
Well, I think I'd rather have him on a team where he could play right away, to be honest, not just because of, you know, his age, but I do think he's quite pro-ready. And I think for a team like the Rams, you'd almost rather have a developmental, like, raw prospect that you can sit behind Stafford for a year. But with Penix, there are still a couple of questions. And I think what he did today did go some way towards answering one of them, which is the athleticism, the mobility. First, I want to say I love that he ran at all, right? The competitive factor, the high expectations he set for himself that he talked about with Molly and then meeting them is tremendous. He doesn't need to be a dual threat in the NFL. He just needs to be a scrambler at the level of, say, Geno Smith in Seattle, where you're not going to call designed runs for him, but he can get out of a jam. And then most importantly, he can manipulate and manage a pocket, which is something we saw at times in Washington. The game against Texas comes to mind, but wasn't always a factor. The other thing you want to see from him, Mike, you highlighted some of those downfield throws all outside the numbers. Now, he is, I think, better at throwing outside the numbers than any quarterback in this class. But to make it in the NFL, you have to throw between the numbers as well. And we didn't see a ton of that at UW. Some of that was the design of the offense. Sure. But I think that's something that you want to see more of from Penix because he will have to do it at the next level.
Yeah, completed 39% of his passes outside the pocket, almost 70% inside the pocket. So many factors that everyone is going to weigh for the next 4 weeks. We're just getting started on NFL Live. Jane Daniels, we saw him so impressive yesterday. Hear why Mike T has some concerns, though, about him at the next level. And Michael Penix Jr., not the only big-time prospect out of Washington. Hear why Mina thinks Roma Dunze, who did not work out today, is one of the best in the draft.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back to NFL Live. Busy day. Time to read and react some of the most interesting sound bites around the league. So Derrick Henry sat down with our Ryan Clark on the pivot to talk about his new home in Baltimore.
How important is it for you and your career to win a championship?
It's really important, and I'm happy I'm going somewhere that they're hungry. They hungry for it, and they're right on the cusp. You know, they're always in the conversation, and I know Lamar want one really bad, so I ain't going to somewhere that, like, the expectation is just we're going to see what's going to happen. Let's make the playoffs and try to make some noise. No, they're trying to win it. I'm ready to come in and be that adding piece to it to help spring them forward if any way possible, any way I can.
So, Mina, what impact do you think he will have on that offense in Baltimore?
Well, I'll start by saying I think Derrick Henry still has a ton left in the tank. I mean, last year in Tennessee, despite the fact that he ran behind one of the worst run-blocking lines in football into a disproportionate number of eight-man boxes, still led the league in yards after contact per carry. Now he joins the Baltimore offense where he's paired with Lamar Jackson, which makes things easier as a back, and is also part of a passing attack that's improved. I do have some concerns, however. That offensive line in Baltimore, which was so good last year, lost three starters. Still an unfinished project in terms of how they're going to replace those starters. Looking to see what they do in the draft, maybe possibly still free agency. So I'm a little bit wary of that, but I think Henry will still have an impact nonetheless.
Another running back changed teams in free agency. Saquon Barkley, of course, going to the Eagles, joining the Kelce brothers on their podcast with some thoughts on Jalen Hurts.
Question everybody wants to know, who can squat more, you or Jalen Hurts?
Ooh.
That's not even close.
You think it's not even close?
It's not close.
Jalen? Jalen's got you?
No.
They're what?
No. I don't do that no more. But like when I was like really in that mindset of squatting and like squat off, I'll put myself up there with a lot of people.
I'm watching this clip of Saquon squatting 585 right now.
Was that in college?
Nah, that was
no.
Last
this
year.
Is the pros.
Damn.
Yeah.
And it's not like even remotely like, difficult.
Like, I don't max out anymore.
How can the Eagles can maximize Saquon?
I think I've squatted 585 pounds combined in my life.
Dan's jaw was like dropping.
I think the number one thing is space. You know, create the space within A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert and allow him to see light. I think the second thing is really stress for him. Hitting singles is okay. You know, that's one of the things that Saquon has struggled a little bit. Now, part of it with the offensive line and with the Giants is always trying to hit the home run. So often we talk about that in the quarterback world. But if they can get him to just trust 2, 3, 4 yards at sometimes, he is going to have so many explosive runs because the space that can be created for their offense.
They didn't call him Saquad for nothing, you know. LSU quarterback and projected top pick. No one's ever called you that. Jaden Daniels had his pro day yesterday. Lewis Riddick caught up with Jaden afterwards. Take a listen.
Through this draft process, what has been like maybe one or two things that people have wanted to know about you the most? Like, what are the questions that you keep hearing people ask you about the most?
How much I weigh?
Well, I can just tell people now.
210 pounds.
There you go.
Love the way he looked in the camera when he said that. Mikey T, any concerns about his size?
Yeah, well, that's just 210 pounds, but it's how he's built. We just talked about Jalen Hurts. That's what you want an NFL quarterback to look like. And my concern about Jaden Daniels is he's a very thin-framed guy. So when you think about being built to last and the sustainability of playing 17 games, I worry about that. I love the talent. I love the person. I just worry, can he withstand the rigors of a full season the way he plays? That would be my concern in the draft room. Everything else checks out great.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen him take massive hits.
Yeah, but we've also seen him. There's plenty of clips on tape where he avoids the hit or runs out of bounds or slides beforehand. So It's so often we talk about, are you capable of doing the right things at quarterback? Like, he's shown that he's capable of doing it. It's just getting him to consistently do it, and it's going to be stressed from the organization down. Like, hey, the first time it happens is we saw it with Anthony Richardson this year, you know? So it's it's got to be a very much so committed thing from the organization and team. It happens once, you get the warning. Happens twice, there's got to be a consequence.
Yeah, got to have a sense of self-preservation.
Once is once too many. Look at Minnesota, look at the New York Jets, look at Cleveland and what it did to their seasons.
Sure, right away, right?
Can't live in fear, Mike T.
What was that?
We can't live in fear.
No, we can't live in fear, but we have to be smart.
We got to play ball, man.
We got to play ball, but we got to be smart about it.
Oh, my God. Right? We got to play ball.
Right?
You're after me to be great.
Still to come. We'll hear from Carolina quarterback Drake May as soon as he is available. Will the star QB have, what will he have to say about his pro day? You do not want to miss it. Come on back.
Hey, Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
National champion runner-up Washington Huskies held their pro day today. Just about every team in the NFL in attendance. Checking out Michael Penix Jr. He did it all today. 23-year-old lefty looking to work his way up the draft board. Star receiver Roma Dunze, first-round prospect, did not work out, by the way. With the latest, here's Molly McGrath and Field Yates.
Here with Field Yates at Washington's Pro Day, where quarterback Michael Penix impressed not only with his arm, but by running and jumping today. Field, what was your impression of his workout?
Yeah, he told you after the workout that he was trying to prove some people wrong, or maybe show to him to them that he was an excellent athlete. And I should count myself amongst that constituency, as I did not think that Michael Penix Jr. would run a sub-4 6:40. Now, everybody has their own stopwatch here at the Washington Pro Day, but amongst the cluster of scouts that I was in, it was a lot of 4.6s to 4.59s for Michael Penix Jr. on top of a 36.5-inch vertical jump. And obviously, when you have the offensive weapons that Washington has had in place during his tenure here in Seattle, you don't need him to run the football all that much. But he sort of showed NFL teams that if called upon to scramble a bit more, or maybe on an occasional designed run, he has more capacity to do so than we might have realized by just watching his film over the past couple of seasons.
And after his workout, Penix told me it should have been a 4.4 40. That's what he's been able to run before, which is so impressive. Yeah. So he shows that he can run. He shows he has the athleticism. Yeah. How much did he help his draft stock today?
I think the best part about a quarterback pro day is when you confirm what you have already put on tape and maybe show a little bit extra. We talked about that little bit extra with the athleticism that he showed in both of those, the jump and also the running portion of the pro day. But the throwing portion of the pro day is really the main event, Molly. And he confirmed to everybody that was in attendance that he has arguably the strongest arm in the entire draft, and certainly amongst the top six quarterback prospects. This guy has a rocket launcher attached to his shoulder. There is no portion of the field that Michael Penix Jr. can't reach, and he also showed that it's not just deep shots down the field, but there is some touch to his game, and he can also handle some of those short and intermediate throws that are going to have to be a part of his offense at the NFL level as well, because you're not going to be able to pass protect in the NFL like Washington often did because of that incredible offensive line that they had here with the Huskies. So Michael Penix Jr., I would say, helped confirm that as we evaluate the race for the fifth quarterback in the draft, it's a two-quarterback race between he and Bo Nix. And it's going to come down to what a team prefers within a quarterback style of play. But if you're a team that wants to run a ton of play action passing, drop back, give your quarterback some time and space to throw, Michael Penix Jr. is the ideal pick for that team that might be somewhere as early as the top 15 picks.
And there's nothing like watching him throw in person. It's amazing. Yeah. It's jaw-dropping. But he wasn't throwing to wide receiver Roma Dunze today, who elected not to work out. He said, what I did at the combine, I'm proud of that. I'm going to stick with that. But it was kind of fun seeing him interact with his teammates and cheer guys like Mike on.
I got to tell you, I did not think that a player could move further up my draft board by doing nothing at a pro day. But Roma Dunze may have accomplished that, Molly. And I think that as we often talk about with these draft prospects, you're not investing in just the player. You're also investing in the person. And nobody had any questions about Roma Dunze's character, football character and personal character coming into the Washington Pro Day, but it was only sort of fortified today when you see the way that he is interacting with all of his teammates. As I mentioned earlier, when I was sitting there with a bunch of scouts watching the 40 times, Roma Dunze was right there with his own phone trying to get 40 times for Mike and his teammates as well, and it just sort of spoke to the kind of person that anybody around this program would tell you that you have in Roma Dunze. And, you know, there is a lot of variance that takes place within the NFL draft. Not all these picks work out. But I would feel very confident that if you draft Rome Odunze, and it's going to be very, very high in the draft, you know you have a talented football player, but you have an incredibly reliable person as well. So while he did not need to do anything today, and he elected not to, I still felt even a notch better about Rome Odunze, which is saying something, Molly, because he was the sixth highest rated player on my board coming into the workout today.
Yeah, and in speaking to Rome Odunze, he said he's confident he is a top 10 pick, and he's just neck and neck with guys like Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. GM say the thing that separates him, that personality and that electricity that he brings to a team. Back to you guys.
Thanks so much, Molly. Thanks so much, Field. So interesting to see Field wax poetic about Odunze as he's sitting there on the sideline. Doesn't seem like he hurt himself by not working out today. But what did you think of that? Put your GM hat on for a sec, please.
Yeah, it certainly didn't hurt him, Hannah. But I will say this, the juxtaposition yesterday of Malik Nabers, hey, saying, I ran, I'm going to run again. And then you have Rome Odunze, who ran a 4.45 at the combine. I really like. I tell these guys, you have so much to be proud of. Just go compete. I had a really unusual situation in Miami where we have Brandon Albert, a good left tackle, and all of a sudden Laremy Tunsil, who's the number one guy on our board for a weird situation, falls down. We saw that as an opportunity. We had done our homework. And all I'm saying is you just never know what's going to happen in the draft. And go run some routes. Nothing bad's going to come out of it. So, again, I don't think he hurt himself today, but I would have loved to see him run routes, maybe not run the 40.
That was one of the wilder draft days in recent memory there in Chicago.
No, you were the guy that drafted him, Mike T.
Wow. Mina, back to these receivers, Odunze, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers. How close is Odunze to the others?
I mean, I view them as like a 1A, 1B, 1C. I know that sounds like a cop-out, but this trio, really is that good. I mean, Harrison Jr., such an amazing route runner. Nabers, so explosive. But Rome Odunze might actually have the highest floor of them because, Dan, he's a human first down. It is impossible for me to imagine a world in which he's not productive in the NFL because of how well-rounded and reliable is, how good his hands are. And I'll add this, you know, he's not as explosive as Nabers, for example. Very few humans are. But I actually think his athleticism, particularly relative to his size, is a little bit underrated. And some of the lack of production after the catch had as much to do with Washington's offense and the types of routes he ran and the way he was targeted. So I wouldn't be surprised if you actually see some upside there when he goes to the NFL.
Yeah, whoever drafts Rome Odunze essentially drafts Larry Fitzgerald or DeAndre Hopkins. That's kind of what he's going to be at the NFL level. I know in a lot of people's eyes he's going to be the third receiver. I'll tell you three things that he does the best in this class. Number one, watch his eyes tracking a football. He tracks the football when it's up in the air better than the other two guys, and they're tremendous players. Two, I think his body control is off the charts. That's the Larry Fitzgerald comp. And then three, his ball skills are DeAndre Hopkins-like. So I don't know if he's going to be the guy that, you know, Malik Nabers, I think, is going to just run explosively by people. And I think Marvin Harrison is going to wear people out with his routes. I don't know if Rome is going to consistently create this massive amount of separation. You're not going to have a lot of incompletions thrown his way. I mean, he is, again, the style is Larry and DeAndre.
I mean, two of the most reliable receivers of all time.
Yeah, and the comp for me, guys, is Terrell Owens. And when you look at the big plays that Terrell Owens had in his career, he could run away from people. But, Hannah, he was so hard to tackle. Right, and what I'm saying here, I agree with Mina that the run after catch was there because of their style. But in the NFL, he is going to be hard to tackle. There's not a lot of corners or safeties that are going to be able to tackle someone that big and that fast. And that was T.O.'s game. When he got into the secondary, he was hard to tackle. And I'm telling you, that's where Rome is going to separate himself from most other receivers. He is going to be hard to tackle once he gets rolling.
Oh, my gosh. Mina, who's your comp? Listen to all the names we've been throwing around.
Could I come up with an even better player? We're only reaching for the best receivers in the history of the NFL. I like all of your guys' comps a little bit. I think maybe they're a little bit lofty, but that's only because we're talking about the best to ever do it. So that's all.
There you go. I love it. Yeah, he's exciting. Yards after the catch, everything. It's the whole package. We love it. Yeah, so we're just throwing names around, right? We can do that.
Yeah.
They haven't played in the NFL yet, so why not? By the way, Mike, what the heck? What the heck, Mike T, with your mock draft?
And if Cardinals I had a dollar.
Situation. Talk
every
about
time
throwing,
we said that.
Throwing stuff around. What the heck, Mike? Welcome back to NFL Live. So on the subject of what the heck, Mike Tannenbaum, he released his mock draft. And one key point, unlike most others, Mikey T is not predicting what teams will do with the pick. As a former GM, he's projecting each pick based off of what he would do. Why not? It's his mock draft. He has a quarterback being selected with each of the first four picks. That surprise there is at number four, where Mike has the Cardinals taking J.J. McCarthy. Mina, what do you think of that?
Oh, Mike, you are wild. Some of these ideas. Let's talk about it. I would not do this for a couple of reasons if I was Arizona. First, I'll say I thought Kyler Murray played good football when he came back from his injury last year, particularly as the season went on. You saw him in a new, very different offense. And despite the lack of skill talent around him, you have like an ascendant tight end and Trey McBride, a good run game, but they obviously still needed wide receivers. I still thought he looked good, and there's a chance for him to look even better and return to the highs we saw earlier in his career. But setting that aside, even if you were to trade Kyler, I guess, in this scenario, J.J. McCarthy would be entering an extraordinarily difficult situation for a young quarterback. This roster is still really devoid of talent, which, by the way, is why I think they should probably consider trading down from that pick if they can get a haul for a quarterback. But if you were to stay there, even if you were to get some draft capital in exchange for Kyler, let's say, you know, the 11th pick from Minnesota or whatnot, you're still not getting one of the top three receivers. This is arguably the worst receiver group in the NFL right now. So you'd be putting J.J. McCarthy in this team that's really devoid of talent, with your number one being a young receiver, and he's not one of the three best receivers. I just feel like you would be setting him up to fail, personally.
What do you have to say for yourself, Mike?
Yeah, I understand Mina's points. I thought Kyler Murray played really well, but here's the facts for me. He's 6 years younger than Kyler Murray. And more importantly, if you look at Kyler Murray's contract over the next 2 years, he has roughly $70 million guaranteed. Okay, so basically what I'm saying is, at roughly $8.5 million, I don't think Kyler Murray is going to play $27.5 million per year better than J.J. McCarthy. And then from a durability standpoint, typically over time, as a player gets older, they don't get more durable. Kyler Murray hasn't played a full season since 2020. So if I could be younger, $27.5 million cheaper per year and more durable, I'm going to go with J.J. McCarthy, even though I know I need other pieces, as Mina alluded to.
I just left out one other thing, which is you negate some of the advantages of having the quarterback on the rookie contract because of the dead cap hit from trading Kyler Murray. You could spread it out over June 1st, I realize, but that would be a pretty significant hit in year two, Mike. So that was the other thing that I left out.
So listen, and here's a look at kind of really all the backstory of all of this. There's a projected trade in Mikey T's mock draft in which the Cardinals send Kyler Murray and a third round pick to the Vikings. The Cardinals receive the 11th pick, where Mike has them taking Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, who I know is one of Mina's very favorite players. This is really interesting, Dan.
I just don't. So usually I never disagree with Mina. I completely disagree with Mina that if you're Arizona, don't do this.
Ooh.
I think if you're Arizona, you would love to do this. I just don't think anyone's going to trade for Kyler. In a realistic world, I don't think anyone's going to trade for Kyler. I don't think anyone's going to trade for his contract. I think he's top 10 in salary cap hit for the next 5 years with his contract. So I think the Arizona Cardinals are kind of stuck with that deal, right? If you're Minnesota.
But, Dan, hold on a second. You could get $35 million a year for Kyler Murray. You just let Kirk Cousins walk out at $45 million a year, and you're 9 years younger. So
yeah, I just don't think it fits the style of offense that Kyler
But I agree with Mina. I thought Kyler played well, and if I'm Minnesota, I can look, Kyler Murray may not be Kirk Cousins, but at $10 million a year per cheaper, I want to at least look at that.
He's got to be able to finish the season. He's got to be able to stay healthy. And they haven't done anything in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I just think if you're Minnesota, you would prefer to go up to two to try to get Jaden Daniels. If not, you know, a JJ or a Drake. I do think Mina's point of the wide receiver group in Arizona is paramount. No group in the NFL has less NFL catches than Arizona does. I think there's one team who has a 600-yard receiver on their team. Yeah. It's New England, and Arizona doesn't. Hollywood Brown was their leading receiver. He's obviously with the Chiefs now. So the roster is still needing. The interesting thing is this. If they stay there, let's say the trade doesn't happen, who do they pick? You know, because do they trade back to Mina's point? Who jumps up? Do they take Romo Dunze because he reminds you of DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, that's a great question. Mina, who do you think they should take at number four if they stay there? What would you like to see them do?
I would go with Harrison Jr. Just to me, he is a player who comes in and that's your offense. It's Marvin Harrison Jr. You build the entire thing around him. I would love to see him play with Kyler. You know, to me, that's just such an upgrade for that room. But I think for the trade down, it's funny. Again, you can go to the Vikings there. Let's say you were to just trade down to 11 if you're Arizona, then you're kind of out of the range of the big three receivers. But potentially, you need so many needs on that roster. Yeah. The ability to add another first-round pick would be pretty tantalizing.
I love that. They need volume. Trade back. Maybe you get lucky. Maybe Odunze is there. But, Hannah, if not, you get volume. Maybe you get another one next year. I think that's where Arizona needs to go.
Yeah,
I would totally disagree with that again as well. If you're going to stay at four, you take one of the big receivers.
Yeah,
you trade back to 11.
You're not going to get them. Those three kids will be gone.
You guys done? Can we go to commercial now?
Okay.
We can talk about this all day. We do know they have a great history of receivers there, though, in the desert. Look at this guy. Got a pretty good history, right? Especially two seasons ago. Last season, a little bit of a drop off. I projected as one of the very top. More on his pro day coming up.
I'm talking prime time. Ain't nobody with me gonna take mine.
Just a competitor, just a guy loves ball and just likes to compete.
Lights, camera, action, it's prime time.
May to the end zone.
Drake May has all the good to be a 10-year starter in the NFL.
I feel like I can play inside the pocket, play outside the pocket.
Don't sleep on Drake May's ability to run.
I like Drake May a lot.
This is exactly what May is capable of.
Wherever I go, just going to go in there and work hard and ready to get to New City.
Carolina quarterback Drake May has pro day today in Chapel Hill after presumptive number one overall Caleb Williams off the board. Most draft experts expect May either the second or the third QB to be taken this year, 4 weeks from today. Here's May after today's workout.
I thought it was a good day out there. You know, obviously a few wish you had back. Those are the one you think about. But, you know, awesome to get out here. I feel like I had a long strip, about 70 throws. So, threw it around a good bit, try to show it all. And just proud of the guys out there. We put a tough script together, and I feel like we executed it for the most part.
So, when you got together with the people who were helping you, what were the things that you said, look, these are the things I want to work on right away? What were those things?
Yeah, footwork under center, and kind of staying on time, staying on rhythm. Like you said, under center is a different game. It's a little bit. So kind of practicing those different drops, 7-step under center, 5-step. You know, EJ knows about it. It's a lot different than just taking a 3 in the gun and letting it rip. So really just that, kind of seeing my college game and taking it from that and just letting it rip out there.
So what is it if you were telling teams right now or you were telling fans, look, this is what I think Drake May need in order to help me reach my potential, what would you say it is?
Yeah, yes, sir. I think the biggest thing is for me to be coached hard. I think I got a lot of talent. I got it all. I can feel like I can do a lot of things, you know, play on the move, play in structure, you know, play out of structure. Just be coached hard and just let me get a chance, man. Just give me a chance and let's have some fun.
Hey, coaches want to hear that. Thanks to our friends from ACC Network and Lewis. What are your impressions of what you just heard, Dano?
I loved three things that he talked about. Okay. First of all, when Lewis asked him the question, intentional answer right away. Like, it wasn't this you know what, when he said, well, timing and rhythm of my feet. So I love that. It's something that has been very specific to him. I love the fact that he referenced, like, this is very different what I'm going through than the three in the gun and let it rip, you know? Like, so the awareness of it.
Yeah.
His answer of I want to be coached hard, it would make me, if I was the team, like, fall in love type of stuff, you know? So I love that. Mike T, real quick. Do Sam Howell and his struggles in the NFL or Mitch Trubisky and his – I don't want to, whatever it was, failure in the NFL. Is that a thing that teams will talk about?
Is that fair?
It's a fair question in a draft room, but it's not going to go very far because he's his own guy. I love your 3 points there, Dan, and take that a step further. His dad was a quarterback. We just heard the son of a quarterback talk. I want to get coached hard. And for me, like we were talking about beforehand, the tape sets the floor, the character sets the ceiling. You could see him make the hard throws to the left. I think they're going to continue to get better. his intangibles will allow
he's
him to maximize
crush his meetings.
Yes, now he's going to crush right. meetings, but I think his athleticism and his size, again, I go back to Justin Herbert. There's very few people that have his size and his speed, and that's why, to me, he's number two, and I think he goes, in my mind, to Washington, and that's why he separates himself from Jaden Daniels.
I'm going to learn, as you love to say, the value of the check down.
That's right.
All those great
that's
intermediate right. throws, et cetera. All right, so you like him at number two. Mina, where do you like him?
Well, if I'm Drake May, putting myself in his mind, my hope is that Jaden Daniels goes number two, the Patriots take me at three, and then they trade me to the Minnesota Vikings because they decide that their roster isn't equipped to start a quarterback. And it's a, guys, this is a realistic scenario yeah. I'm painting. So, I don't think this is pie in the sky because I truly believe the Patriots are considering it. I don't know if they'll actually do it, but I think we all agree that Minnesota is the dream landing spot for, frankly, any quarterback right now this offseason. But it would be exceptional for May paired with those weapons, that line, Kevin O'Connell, dream fit. If you were to go with the Patriots, I would want him to sit for a while.
Yeah, Mina, you just nailed it to me. Like, I love the fact they have Jacoby Brissett. Take Dre May. You don't have to play these guys from day one. Like, you want these to be 10-year decisions, not 10-week decisions. And for all the wrong reasons, I'm glad that Anthony Richardson said. I hate that he got hurt.
Sure.
But the fact that these guys get to sit, I love Mina's idea. Take Drake May and go play mm-hmm. Jacoby Brissett.
That'd be quite a quarterback room. Yeah.
I say it all the time. These kids get drafted not because they lack talent, because they are talented. They fail because they don't fix their flaw. And when I hear him sit and talk, it is very clear that he knows what he has to work on. And everything you hear about him, the character is off the charts. A very impressive day for Drake May today. Very impressive. Both throwing and listening.
Who had the more impressive day today? Was it Penix
Drake
or
May.
Was it
Drake
or was
with,
it Drake May?
I'll go with Michael Penix that he yeah. ran the 40-yard dash.
Mina, last word.
I thought both were incredibly impressive, but it was cool to see Penix run for sure.
I will leave it there. Goodbye.